Pray with me. Father God, we thank you for this time, this place, this gathering of your people that you have made possible on this Sunday morning. We come to you hungry this morning, ready to learn, to grow, to be stretched, to be obedient to what it is you've commanded us to do, that we might fulfill the mission that you've set before us in great unity and great effectiveness. And so we're yours, Father. And we pray that you would use this morning mightily and tune our ears to all that you have for us. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Olive Drive Church exists to glorify God through lives that are being transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is our mission statement, which gives us a great clarity and purpose for why we do what we do. Our unity around our mission in this season is really extra important. And why? Why is our unity around our mission extra important? Well, because transition's hard, and we're going through a lot of changes right now. It's easy sometimes to lose focus on the main thing when you have so many other things going on. So I knew coming into this season to be the new lead pastor of Olive Drive Church that there was a lot to do. That was one of the privileges of being here for many years prior to leading. And so none of this is a surprise to me. And yet as it unfolds, as God leads, it's new, it's fresh. But I'm confident. I'm confident because number one, we serve a big God who's in control. He's on the throne. And number two, because God's helped me have some vision for these very things that we're in the middle of, and some clarity as to how to be directing and leading us through this. So praise God for that. As we're in this process of moving right now, this summer of 2014, out of our mansion of a campus, into what our interim little apartment's gonna be like on campus, while we build our new home, I believe that God will use this season to make us stronger as a church. The reality is that we have become a little smaller in this last season, I believe due to a lot of the changes that have been happening. There are some who have not wanted to make those changes with us, and as God is leading us through them. But this is not the first time that we've seen in the history of God's people this happen, that a group of God's people would get smaller before they would get bigger or healthier. We have many testimonies throughout Scripture where God is strengthening the core of His church, of His people, of different armies, making them smaller to do His purposes, to do His work. One of the main reasons why sometimes that happens is so that in our weakness, He is stronger, that people see that big God at work. And I believe in a lot of ways that's what's happening right now. It is not a coincidence that we just finished 12 weeks of moving through the book of Colossians, whereby we're shown time and time again that Jesus is supreme. He is our Lord, our Master. He is in charge, and we are to submit to Him, but also that He is sufficient. Everything we need at our core, we find in Him. He is faithful and will finish what He has started in us. We need to trust in that. So let us be reminded of something that we say, but often don't believe, when we're really honest, that the local church is not just buildings that we come to on Sundays. The church is a group of people who are on mission together, united and pressing forward to fulfill all that God has called them to do. So the vital question before us in the middle of this summer with fall approaching is, how do we unite our church around our mission in such a way that we mobilize forward all that God has before us? This has led me to want to preach in this coming month of August and today on membership. It is in our unity as diverse members of one body that we must understand and then rightly live out if we are going to stay the course. What is membership? What does that look like? How do we faithfully live out God's call for us to be many members united as one body. Look to the screen with me and follow along as we read a synopsis of this statement saying the need for covenant membership in the local church. Christ has reconciled those who once were lost through a new covenant to be his united people, not just individuals, but a body, a bride for himself. In this, God's design for the universal body of Christ is to form assemblies or local churches where his children can covenant together to glorify God through lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Local church covenant membership provides common ground, accountability, dependability by which each member can commit to play their part in fulfilling God's mission for that local assembly. In an effort to break this down, I want to quickly clarify what the universal church is, what the local church is, and then I want to spend some time this morning really looking at why membership is so important. So let's look at the universal church, the macro church body at large. See, there are many places in the scriptures that speak to the new covenant that God made with his people. Hebrews 9 is one of them, where we see the mention and talk of the old covenant, an agreement that God made with his people, relied on appointed priest and the blood sacrifice of animals to represent the sins of the people and restore their union with God. The new covenant or agreement, commitment, relies solely on Jesus Christ, who is our high priest and whose blood sacrifice reconciles us to God once and for all. This is the good news of Jesus that we celebrate. This is the good news that can bring you new life right here today. When we repent of our sin and our pursuit of self-salvation, and we trust our lives to the lordship, to the power and the majesty of Jesus Christ to reign and rule, the Bible says that we will be saved, that we are his, that we're made new, that we're justified, adopted. My prayer is that God's changing hearts in this place, in this city, on this day, that souls are saved for his eternal glory. Now, we are made members in this salvation of the body of Christ. As a result of God's new agreement or covenant with his people, what the Bible tells us is that every person who repents of sin and trusts their lives to Jesus is forever a part of the family of God. If this is you, you are a member of the body of Christ. Global body of Christ. This is the first clarity we need to see. The new covenant of Jesus makes us members of his body. So the universal church, that is the body of Christ on the macro level. Now, there's an understanding of the church on the macro level that is often then embraced so that we kind of ignore the commitment to the church on the micro level. And we need to not see the church on the micro level as optional to simply just embrace church on the macro level. Hey, I'm a part of the body of Christ. That's good enough. Because the scriptures call for more than that. Let's look at the local church, the micro church body. God's saving grace makes you a member of his eternal family. You are adopted and secure in him for all time. Praise God. This is true. There is also, though, a membership that God has created that we are to faithfully live out in the local church. It is the biblical understanding of the New Testament that every born-again Christian belong to, be involved in, and committed to a local church congregation. Only in this does it make sense that we would submit to the authority of elders. The calls to submit to elders make no sense if you are a part of just the universal church. Which elders are you submitting to? Are you under their authority? This goes for the same call to exercise any form of church discipline or unity unto service. Who are you uniting with to serve? Who are we to be responsible for if unidentified and defined within the local church? This is so central to the teachings of the New Testament that to not live out commitment to the local church body, I believe, is to be disobedient to what God has designed for the body of Christ. In 1649, in Cambridge, Massachusetts, John Colton, Richard Mather, Ralph Pattridge drew up a model of church government which reasoned like this. God wills for his people to gather in visible local churches. This is clear from the New Testament. For example, from all the different letters written to the seven churches of Asia Minor, whereby all were different assemblies. We see that in Revelation 2 through 3. This visible union cannot be established by mere faith in general, for that faith is invisible. Nor by a bare profession of faith, for that does not make a person a part of one particular church or another, nor by simple cohabitation, living in the same community or attending the same church services, does not get this done either. Even atheists and infidels may dwell together with believers. Nor by baptism, since baptism itself does not make a person part of a particular church. All these things are very true. This is a great synopsis that these gentlemen wrote about in understanding the New Testament and speaking of some of the clarities for why local church commitment and membership is so important. What establishes the visible union of a group of believers into a church is that they make a covenant together with each other. To be that local church in that local area. What is a covenant? A covenant is a promise. It's a commitment. Our particular covenant is a written covenant by which you can clearly read, and therefore we can agree on and fulfill a certain stated variance of points of clarity that we are going to unify around. This is an effort not to leave anything out in the open or wandering around or assumptions being made. It's clearly there. Our Olive Drive Church membership covenant includes a call for an individual's personal statement of faith in Christ, an agreement on core biblical doctrines, the commitments and obligations of Olive Drive Church leaders to its members, the commitments and obligations of members to each other, and the leaders of Olive Drive Church. We have copies of the membership covenant at the Get Connected table. You can pick one of those up after the service, or it's actually online on our website that you can get at any time to review it, to be reminded of what its contents are, and to know. Turn with me now to looking at a deeper understanding of what membership is. That membership is this beautiful picture of many yet one. What is membership in the local body of Christ? To begin to see this, I want us to turn to a few different passages today. I want to start by looking at Romans 12, 4 through 6. Read it with me. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. I'll stop there. Paul uses the visual metaphor of the human body to help us see how each of us are different, different members with different skills, different roles to play, just as the different members of the human body. And yet, we are led by the same head, Jesus Christ. We are Christ's body, the local church, the church. To not commit to one another, to not be accountable to one another, to not communicate with one another is to be, now look at this, if we follow the metaphor out, simply nothing more than a pile of limbs and ligaments and joints and bones that in the end really do nothing but just hang out together. The body must be unified. Covenanting together in membership allows us to do this, to avoid making a commitment to agree, to submit, to work together is to be paralyzed to do anything good that God intends or commands us to do. There's just too much the scriptures call for in our unity to make light of this matter. Now, unity is very often misunderstood or misinterpreted. Many times we think of unity as something that it's not. For example, we think unity is union. But union is simply affiliation with others. There's no common bond that makes them one in heart, like the union for any different group of workers. Just because you attend the same church or live in the same town and therefore have affiliation with each other doesn't mean you will experience true unity. Just because you are married, have a bank account, live under the same roof, even sleep in the same bed, does not mean that you are experiencing unity in your marriage. We can't lean on union as our real attempt for unity. Another flaw in trying to think about unity a lot is uniformity. If everyone starts looking and acting alike, then maybe we'll be united. But all that is private school or a private club maybe that you join where you wear a uniform and all dress alike and start thinking alike and following the same rule book. Uniformity deals with the sameness of our outer appearance and is also an agreement on the rules you might live by or follow. At the club that I'm in, we have bylaws that we are very strict to in it, to all live by and follow. There's uniformity in that. But unity is not just sameness or agreement. The oneness God has within the Trinity, the oneness Jesus is praying that we have as the church, is to be a diverse unity. That is not sameness. There are people who literally will leave the church because they look around and go, there's not enough people here who are the same as me. Or who, I want everyone who comes to church to dress a certain way or to do this certain thing. And we just long for sameness. But that's not the diverse unity of the church. But we do. We love it when people fit our mold. You might look at someone and say, man, I don't really like the way you go about life. Well, there's a diversity in us that must be valued. See, if you and I try to be united by how we dress, what happens then when we disagree on something practical? Does the clothes we wear unify us unto glorifying God through lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? No, it will break down. So we have to look further. What about the changes we go through as a church? If we're only a church because we're doing certain things a certain way, that can't be what we're united around. It's got to be bigger than that. I believe the Bible argues that uniformity is not unity. Unity is found to be something much deeper, much more transcendent. It's going to go further. It's going to go to the core. It's not just surface. It's deep. So, now that we know what unity is not, let's look for a moment at what it is. Membership is unity. Jesus speaks of this over and over in his kingly prayer about the oneness he has with the Father and the Holy Spirit and the oneness that he's longing for us to have as the body of Christ. So turn with me to John chapter 17, verse 20 through 23. And let's read. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be all one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love me even as you have loved me. Unity refers to a oneness in heart. We're desperate for Christ to do this in us, for the Holy Spirit to stir and to work. Who we are in Jesus is the core of what it means to be the local church. He is the Prince of Peace, who gives us access through salvation to life, the life of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is unity. Only when God is transforming our hearts from the inside out do you and I have the power or the desire really to pursue unity. So it happens by the grace of God, by the sovereign work of God in our lives, transform us first of all. And then as he's sanctifying us, he causes us to fight for unity. That's not uniformity or union. It's way deeper than what we wear or who we're associated with. It is in Christ that we find our motivation then to long for a deeper commitment together, to not stay out on the fringe, to not go through long series of disgruntledness or disagreement, but to press into the scriptures, to leap, to submit ourselves to the authority of our leaders, to defer to one another and hear each other and love each other, but to be on mission in a united way. And I'm praying for the many different variables of commitment that are in our church in this season, that God would better unite us moving forward. That he would break into your contentment with the certain position that maybe many of you are in as a prospective member or even a longtime historic member, but have not covenanted with us at the deepest level to really be on the same page moving forward unto all that God's calling us to do. We must understand that true unity is not just an external thing. People will come and go out of the church with external changes all the time if that's the only way that we're connected. My prayer for us in this season with everything that God's doing is that he has us united at our core in Christ. And that creates perseverance, deference, listening, trust of one another. That we would endure hardship, hard seasons, where we have questions or doubts, and we press through for all that God has for us. Now, I want to look at a few core areas for why. Why covenanting together in membership at this level is so important. Number one, common ground. Only when we have common ground will we have understanding or clarity, specifically regarding our mission and our core beliefs. If we don't agree on what the mission, on what we're even called to do as a church, then how are we going to be effective to do anything together? Additionally, and just as important, is our unity and common ground around the authority of the scriptures and what the scriptures teach us in our core beliefs. I know this has been a season of a lot of growing as God has been reforming our church. He's been drawing us in to a deeper understanding of what the full scriptures are teaching us on different areas. And we have longed to persevere through this. And I encourage you not to stop fighting for that clarity, that we truly look to the scriptures to define what that looks like as we go forward. If we're going to be an effective church body, we must share common ground on our mission and our core doctrinal beliefs. If we do not take time to clarify, understand, and agree on what the mission of ODC is and what our core beliefs are, then how do we as a collective body of people fulfill that mission and teach in unity what those beliefs are? Now, I realize that there are some of you along the way who are hungry for more of this. And as we strengthen our leadership and strengthen our ability to be able to hold more classes or Bible studies, put on different seminars. We will continue to grow in these things. But is there a desire for that? For that to be what one of the main core things that we want is that common ground. Covenant membership is the leadership's opportunity to clearly teach on about what our mission is and what our core beliefs are, and then to uphold that together. Only when we do this can our members clearly understand and say, I agree, I'm committed, I'm in. Now, what this also does, it gives us a platform by which we can protect the body from false doctrines being taught and other missional priorities from being pursued. It keeps us together and moving forward. So when someone wants to start coming to ODC and starts to get involved and says, you know, hey, I really want to start teaching, but they have a longing to teach a prosperity gospel or to teach universalism or a number of other heresies that maybe are embraced in different circles, we'll be equipped to say, this family doesn't believe that, and keep the unity by which we believe the scriptures do teach. Or if someone says, I believe the church's number one priority should be to build a submarine whereby we remove ourselves from this dirty world and we love each other really well unto all these commands within the scripture, we get to say very clearly, no, we have clear understanding from the scripture, from our leadership, from our unity and our covenant, that our mission is not to build a submarine and do that. Our mission is to glorify God through lives that are being transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Common ground is really important. For those of you who have kind of been outside of really wanting to pursue that, I encourage you to continue to jump in with us, to study with us and pursue that. Commit on that level. Number two, dependability. Dependability is the opportunity for those around you that you know you can count on each other. If all we do is just attend and then we don't make a covenant of really understanding that I'm saying to you and you're saying to me, you can count on me, you can depend on me. How do I know when things get hard who I can count on and rely on? The reality is then sometimes I watch people who don't have that spin out, run away from the church, spin into some kind of form of addiction or hardship, make a bad decision. Because I didn't know who to depend on. Entering into covenant membership allows us to have a clear understanding of who that is. And awkwardly, when we're saying, well, I don't want to do the covenant thing, I just want to be a member on this level or in this way, then who and how, who are we really dependent on? How are we dependent on each other when that's in a very variance of ways? Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, another very, very famous scripture speaking of this very topic. Let's look at verses 12 through 20. The body is a unit. Though it is made of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we're all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Once again, we get to see a beautiful, diverse unity. But what we also see here is the teaching that is clarifying how dependent we are on one another. The Christian life is not an independent thing. When we look to the scriptures and try to think about just our own faith, we're missing the very thing that God has saved us to be part of. And we're missing so many scriptures that teach us to do this together in the trenches, in a local church, truly depending on one another. Scriptures actually say that it is our joyful privilege to bear one another's burdens. to love each other and spur one another on, to pray for one another, to confess our sins to one another. How do we do that if we've not entered into some form of being able to agree and depend on one another? The only way the church functions is if all the members play their part. But the local church cannot thrive from just the work of the pastor, nor can it thrive from just the work of the staff, nor can it thrive from just the work of the committed few volunteers. In the coming weeks and the months ahead, every one of us is going to need to play our part. I hope you see that. I hope you're not looking for a way to stay busy and not really get involved. You're part of this family. We have a part to play, to pray, to serve, growing in God's word, giving financially, keeping unity. We need to depend on one another. The 80-20 rule is simply unacceptable in the church. And the problem is it's all still too common. If you don't know what that is, that's simply what that means is when 20% do the work for the whole 100. You got 80% that are finding a way to stay busy or not be committed, not be involved. And so 20% double and triple up to try to cover all the work that needs to be done for the 400%. It just cannot be that way. Each one has a part to do. God's command is that every one of his people do their part. It should be 100%. Covenant membership means members don't just attend. They participate, they minister, they're involved. They give financially, they serve in key ministries, they support the leaders, they pray for one another. That you would see that this is your church as much as it is mine. And that we would truly depend on one another. I believe if you call this your church home, and you are breathing, it means two things. You have a critical part to play in who we are. And God's not done with you. So maybe while what you have to contribute in time or finances or skills is different than the guy sitting next to you or the generation behind you or whatever else is going on, you have something very important to contribute. And we need to be faithfully looking to do that so that we can depend on one another fully. But there is not such a thing as a Christian who retires from church ministry. You know, well, that does happen. It's called death. When you physically die is when your number has been called to retire from Christian ministry. You get to reign with the king and feast at the banquet table. But until then, you have an important part to play. And that should never be outside of the local church, that we would be depending on one another to the very end. Let's look at the third commitment. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, simply says this: be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. The church is not a social club by which you can just come and enjoy and hang around for 20 years. It is a body of mobilized, God-empowered people on a mission. This is why in 2011, 2012, back then, we removed from your Get Connected cards the box that used to be there that said regular attender. Why did we do that? Because biblically, that position in the church does not exist. You are either checking out a church body to see if membership is for you in that local church. If not, you move on. If so, you commit, and the scriptures say you commit all the way. There's none of this partway in stuff. The body of Christ does not have members who play the role of regular attender. An attender is someone who never commits but just attends. They might give financially, they might even help out occasionally, but they are not committed to the church mission, to what the church believes. They're not dependable in every way. Every member of the body of Christ, every member is called to the vital responsibility, participation, and ministry involvement in the name of Jesus that should be played out in the local church. Now let me clarify. If you're a non-believer, if you are still at war with God, you're still in your sin, Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, let me just say, I'm glad you're here. It is our privilege as a church to welcome you to our home, to love you and journey with you as you seek God, as you pursue the scriptures, as you're asking questions. We hope that you're treated so well that sooner than later you feel like home. But let it be clear that once you start to feel at home, and especially once you're saved, you need to start doing real business with whether or not this is the church you are going to be committed to, because just hanging out and being on the edge is not biblically obedient. You must get all the way in. We pray and plead with God that as a result of you being here, you will see the gospel. He will give you eyes to see and ears to hear and give you saving faith in Jesus Christ, that you would become a brother and sister of Christ. Join our family as a covenant member. We can link arms with you and grow together. Now, if you're a Christian who has no interest in committing to this local body of believers, I need to love you enough to tell you, you need to move on. You need to find a body where you can get committed and all the way in. This is better for you. It's better for us. It's better for the church universal. Why? Because you need to be obedient to the scriptures that call you to be all the way in. And not get off this cycle of church shopping. Get off this cycle of you were hurt by something that happened and so you're super jaded and don't want to commit. The power of Christ in us is enough to sit and to seek reconciliation and forgiveness, restoration unto unity. The book of Amos speaks of this, and we really see it throughout the scriptures, but I love this illustration in the book of Amos, chapter 4. The prophet called the people there fat cows of Bashan. Here's why. He said, all you do is chew cud, swallow it, then you vomit it back up in your mouth and chew it again. Then you swallow it, throw it back up and chew it again. He basically says, you do nothing. Here you've been given the things by God, but yet you do nothing. And so in doing so, you are spiritually fat cows. I don't say that today to be offensive. Take it up with the word of God. It's his illustration through Amos. But the modern church is filled all over with the spiritual equivalent of fat cows who go everywhere but are committed nowhere. Now, I realize that making a commitment on this level is a big change in what you've gotten used to, but that's the point. To be sanctified, to grow, to be all that God has us to be, to live every day for his glory, we're not to take these things lightly. It should affect us greatly, challenge us. Spurgeon said it well. Christians are designed by God like bricks in a house. They need one another to be worth anything. He says to say that you love Jesus but refuse to plug in to belong to a local church is like a brick being kicked down the street, and every time it gets kicked, it screams, I'm a house. I'm a house. I'm a house. You can't do this thing alone. Nor can you convince you that somehow because you liked it the way it is, that it works for you. No, we are to submit ourselves to the scripture. You are to be part of the local body, committed, dependable, united, standing on common ground. Submitting to the leaders that God has put in his economy over that church. fulfilling the mission that he's given to that church body. That much of the modern church is dying. Because much of the modern church, modern society people refuse to make a commitment and be all the way in. I want to ask you today to really think about where you're at with this. That you would not play games with it, but that you would be able to say, I trust the leadership. If you don't trust leadership, then we need to sit down and talk and pray together. Because it's not God's will that you would go through long seasons of mistrust. Maybe for a moment there's healing, there's hurt that's happening, but that should not stay with you. So we need to do business with that. Do you trust the direction we're in? How God's leading us? Okay? You're second guessing all the time, it doesn't work. Do you believe our mission is what God has for us? To glorify God in everything we do through lives that are being transformed by the power of the gospel. That you would look around and say, this is my family. And I'm here. And we're going to serve together. We're going to bleed together. We're going to cry together. We're going to work out our differences when they come up. We're going to grow together. Better, fuller, the presence and power of Jesus Christ. All that God intends for this church, but more so for this community and beyond to be. God's plan is that we would belong to a local church in every way. So, what should we do with this clarity? Three things, and I leave you with this. That you would covenant with us. For those of you who are new, who maybe been here a while, but have never completed your commitment to attend all four of the classes or covenant with us, I pray that you make this a priority. You need to stop waiting on us or letting life continue to get busy. You need to make this a priority in the coming months. We offer classes every month or so, typically Sunday mornings. And if you're ready, then attend the next session, sign up, let us know. You can do it right now. Pull out your communication card, put membership class at the top. We'll put you on a list of people to follow up with. Help us see it through. If you're a longtime member here at ODC and have faithfully attended and served for many years, I want to encourage you to take the next step of covenanting with us, of unifying with us at that level of common ground, of the commitment of our covenant. Come to the classes and take that step. Be all the way in. And if you are a covenant member, then stay in tune with what we have committed to each other. Review the covenant. Make it yours. Own it. Again, it's on the Get Connected table and you can see it online. Stay all the way plugged in. Be attentive to how you're doing. This is why it is so important that each of us take our annual assessment. That is your opportunity to review. How am I doing this year? Chance for you to look with some perspective and say, God, where am I growing? Where have I slided? Where can I ask for prayer, ask for help? In addition to your commitment to do that, it is good for you to do that. Number two, the next few weeks, I want to talk through the five priorities of covenant membership. What are these areas that we are to be committing to fulfilling and doing together that is covenant membership? So we're going to look at worship, we're going to look at discipleship, we're going to look at service, we're going to look at accountability, we're going to look at our testimony. And these are going to be good things that are actually able to help us talk about some of the transitions we're in, some of the things that we're doing moving forward, have buy-in together. What do the scriptures have to say about these things? And then finally, this all sets us up for what I'm preparing for our next sermon series, big sermon series in the fall, to kick off the fall. And take us through the fall, I want to do a sermon series on the one another's called One Another. There are 59 commands in the New Testament for how we are to treat one another. Many of them are the same, so we will focus on the big 10 or 12. and really dig into what the Bible is teaching about these things. How are we, the church, supposed to interact with one another? We need to know that. We need to do that. And in this season in the fall, we're going to be asking and committing together to invite, and so there's going to be a lot of our friends and family and neighbors are going to come see what all drives about, but more so in this season, what is the church about? And they're going to see who we are to one another as Christ commands us to be as we are growing in that. So I'm excited about that upcoming series and how this time in the month of August is going to set the table for that. So it's a joy to have completed this sermon, to anticipate its delivery to you now as I look into the weekend, and now you at the end of Sunday morning have received it. Praise God for all that he's doing. I want to pray for our conclusion and the rest of our day and week ahead. So pray with me. Father God, I thank you for this time that you've set aside by which we get to gather, to study, to dig in, to take a unique morning to really kind of look at what the scriptures say holistically about membership, unity, committing to each other, belonging to each other, standing on common ground, being accountable to one another for your glory, for others' good. Father, I pray that we not be flippant with this, but we do business with this topic in prayer this week and pursuing, following up, and in finishing our covenant membership process for those who are not finished it, or starting in for those who have not begun. And that you would really bind us together, unite us, strengthen us, as I believe you will in this season of transition and some of the things we're going through. It's going to be good for us to go through this together. I'm excited about that, Lord. Prepare us now for the week ahead, the testimony that you've called us to share, the bread we're going to break together. We love you, and we are thankful for all that you are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.